there in bed and pondering and meditating, and all of a sudden I felt like, oh, you know, your message is a lot what Steve shared about 3-4 weeks ago. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel the Lord gave me this message. I think it's enough different that you will appreciate it. I hope so. I believe that God has been speaking to me, and we're going to be sharing out of Galatians 6 here in a little bit. But anyway, the thing that kind of burns on my heart, has been kind of burning on my heart is, you know, we have a lot of trouble and a lot of turmoil in our country. There's just a lot of things that are going on that, you know, they're kind of troubling if we focus on that. But we don't want to focus on that. We don't want to be ignorant. But we also don't want to, we want to fight our battles from a standpoint of victory. We're not fighting our battles from a standpoint of defeat. However, you know, I think too many times we talk about and we look about what's wrong with the world around us, and we don't take action to change it as a church. And I think it has to start as individuals. But we'd like to talk a little bit today about the law of sowing and reaping. And I titled the message, Choose Your Hard Wisely. And that'll make more sense as I get into this message. So it might sound like a ridiculous title, but I want you to think about that. There are hard choices that you and I make in this life. Some choices are harder than others, and we're gonna look at that. But I'd like to first go to our scripture in Galatians 6 and start in verse 1. It says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So it's pretty clear here. He says, be not deceived. God isn't mocked. You know, we might look around as Christians, as a church, and maybe at times we're frustrated when we see the open defiance of God in His Word. We see the openness of just, we make laws as a country that come out against the Word of God and righteousness. Like, it wasn't long ago that marriage was only between one man and one woman. And all the lawmakers, even the liberal guys, were on board with that. Now it's like, if you say that marriage should be between one man and one woman, you're a little bit of an oddball in the world today, especially in the political world. But having said that, God's not going to be mocked. You cannot take the law of God and say that it means something else or it should be something else. God is not going to be mocked. Somewhere, somehow, there's going to need to be some repentance or something. Somebody's going to have to pay a really hard price for those decisions. However, there are other things that burden me. I was speaking this week to, he's one of the men that is in a drug task force. He covers like 5 counties. I can't think of his name, but it doesn't really matter. But he was just telling me what kind of an epidemic of drugs that we have in our county. Can you believe that? In this beautiful world that we live in, that people have to turn to drugs to try to find fulfillment in their heart and in their life. That to me is extremely sad. Why is this? He told me that I don't even know if this guy is a believer. But he told me, he said, Gideon, he said, our country has lost her morals. He said, we have no morals left in this country in general. He said, it is so bad. It is so bad. He said, it's unbelievable. Like the drug plague in this Lincoln County, one of the most beautiful places in the nation, is just rampant. He said, Eureka is not quite as bad as Libby and Troy, but it's bad everywhere. And so we have a lot of work to do. That starts with the church. I'm not looking for Commissioner Josh to make a law that's going to fix this. It has to start right here in my heart. It has to start right here in your heart. We have got to be the change that we want to see in the world. So there's a lot of these things that we could harp on. We could spend here all day complaining about the world around us, but it's not going to bring any solutions or change. But what we do need to look at, what brought on this field, this harvest of disaster? What brought this about? Why are we here today in Lincoln County where we were? Why are we here as a nation harvesting these bitter things? What happened? Is it possible that we turned away from God? Is it possible that we looked at His Word and we said it doesn't mean what it says and we don't need to obey it? Is that possible? That we decided we know better than this. How about us on a personal level? Do we ever give in to spirit, fleshly desires, and instead of doing what is best for my family, my brotherhood, my church, do we give in to what I want? Do we ignore at times the Word of God? When Jerry, you quoted that verse about love, do we ignore these things and think that we can do this better? We're going to pay a price. Again, we could go on and on as a complaining about our country and our county and all that, but we don't want to do that today because I don't believe there's life in complaining. But let's look into our own heart. It says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Wow, that's some pretty serious stuff right there. "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." What is the harvest that we are going to receive? What is it that we are sowing out there today in our spiritual life? In our daily life, you and I make a lot of decisions. And I was like curious, like how many times a day does the brain make a decision? And they tell me that a brain makes approximately 35,000 decisions every single day. That's crazy. But just like my foot going forward, my brain had to tell me to do that. So a lot of them are not really that important, but the brain is very unique and God designed it amazingly. But 35,000 times every day you make a decision on what you're going to do next. How many of those 35,000 decisions are made sowing in the Spirit of the Lord? How many of those 35,000 decisions are made for myself and my selfishness and decisions that make us reap a bitter harvest? 35,000 times. How many of those are made in the Spirit of the Lord? Again, a lot of decisions are, they're not that big a deal. You decide to get up off your chair and go to work. You do the right thing, but yet, even in those things, we're going to look at some of those things. Some of those things, there's a connection and being consistent and disciplined in what some may call little things. I'm pretty sure today that if you're of the persuasion that when it's time to get out of bed in the morning that you like a snooze button. How many people like a snooze button? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't like to. I don't like snooze buttons. I think they're a horrible mistake. If you're of the persuasion that you hit your snooze button for 30, 40 minutes, I bet you're going to get up too late. But we are a snooze button society in general. We like to push everything off. We like to hit the snooze button. If you're that persuasion where you know what happens is you get up so late, you don't have time to fix the bed. You don't have time to wipe down the sink after you're done brushing your teeth if you brush your teeth. You don't have time to put on deodorant before you go to work because it all started in that little decision that you decided to keep hitting. All started there. Now, I understand getting up early and having a decent quiet time it's hard. I like to sleep as much as anybody. I understand that it's hard to get up and have that time alone with the Lord. Where does it start? Where does your day start? A snooze button or time with the Lord. You might say, this is some simple stuff, and it is. We're gonna preach a little bit more about some little heavier stuff than this, but it starts in having that communion with the Lord. You know what? Getting up on time is hard. Getting up late and having chaos the entire day is harder. Choose your heart wisely. To read God's word every day and actually focus and receive from the Lord in that word is hard sometimes. How many of you have ever read a chapter and you got to the end and you're like, I have no idea what I just read. I have. And I'm like, I'm going to go back and read it again. I'm going to read it three times if I have to get it. And I have to keep daydreaming. So it's hard to focus. But, you know, especially when we've got those goofy little devices laying right there and there's endless reels and videos and TikToks and all that other garbage there that just wants to be viewed. It's hard to leave that thing alone. Again, choose your heart wisely. Maybe it's 8 o'clock in the evening and you're nudged by the Holy Spirit to go tell your neighbor about the Lord. Maybe you've been moved in your heart to call your father or your mother or to write a letter to grandpa or grandpa and you're just too busy. Instead, you know, the endless movies and reels and social media and TikTok and Snapchat and all this stuff is just beckoning you to get on there and catch up because you might have missed out on something. Only 2 hours later, 2 hours after you should have went to bed, you go to bed and you feel empty inside. Why? It was so hard to do what the Holy Spirit nudged us to do and we chose something else. We have to choose our heart wisely. It's hard to go to bed feeling like that. I've done it. Which heart wins in our life? Are we making choices that are sowing to life of the Spirit? Are we making choices that are going to be a bitter harvest at the end of the day? Choose your heart wisely. I don't want you to take this message as being a complainer. I'm not. I'm just as guilty of this stuff as any of you. And I'm not meaning it as being a complainer. And complaining doesn't help anyway. Who likes a complainer? Anyone? No. Lou Holtz, in fact, said that 80% of the people you complain to don't care. 80% don't care what you're complaining about. And he said the other 20% are glad you have problems. So maybe that should keep us from complaining. Right? Complaining doesn't work. They don't care. So we need to be direct and sometimes disciplined to take action on what God calls us to do. I don't know for sure who said this, but it really is profound. He said it's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. Did you get that? It's easy to dodge them and just let it go, but you can't dodge and run away from the consequences of not being responsible. We could look at a few historic figures. I want to do that a little bit at David. A lot is preached about David. I wonder if he's not one of the most preached about men in the Bible. But he's known as a man after God's heart. And he had so many good qualities. I love when David was a young man. I love the persona. I love how David was and who he was. The preparation that he had made to be in a position as a young man to be used of God. That speaks to me. The man was ready. When he was at home on the farm, or whatever they called it in those days, he was taking good care of his sheep. And then when God called him, and he comes over there, and he slays a giant for the people of God. So he had a seriously good foundation laid. The man was incredible. But you know, in his life, he made some really poor decisions. And I thank God that David is forgiven, and I'm not here to be critical. I wonder sometimes if he could hear us in heaven, if he's there or in paradise, wherever you believe that those that have gone on before, if he gets tired of us pointing out his weak points. Probably not. I think if he's with Jesus, he could probably care less. But anyway, so David did some really poor decisions, and I'd like to show us how, by his poor decisions and his disobedience, how there came There was death that came into his family. There was a lot of heartache and a lot of sadness. And a man that had a good foundation, unless you think that you're so far above David that you would never do something as terrible as he did, let's be warned. This was a man that we would all agree the foundation of the man's upbringing and how he lived his young life was amazing. It was impeccable. The man believed in Almighty God, and he lived it, and he brought down giants, and he won battles for the Lord's people, but he fell. May we be warned. I think he really knew, maybe not in these exact words, but he realized what shall of the flesh reap corruption really meant, or what he reaped in his later years. Allowing his eyes to roam to his neighbor's beautiful wife. Okay. So many of us see a beautiful person in our day-to-day life, and we even think that they're beautiful. So far, so good. Okay? Nothing wrong with that, but what about what happened next? So David, instead of averting his eyes and crying out to the Lord, he started meditating on this, and he took it to the point where he went to the next step, and he invited this beautiful lady over to his house for an adulterous rendezvous. From that, a child was conceived, and now, thanks to Uriah the Hittite not cooperating, we had to put him in and have him murdered. You see where this was leading. It all started with looking. It all started with not taking it serious about changing his thought pattern. It all started there in kind of a small situation, but through this, there was a terrible reaping that had to happen. God is not mocked. The good part in all this is that when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, he repented. That is the good part. He said in 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't try to beat around the bush. He didn't try to say, well, she shouldn't have been dressed like that. Why did she bathe on the house roof anyway? Like, you know, he didn't excuse himself because he knew there was a responsibility there to not go into this and not sin. He just said, I've sinned against the Lord. He accepted his sin. He took responsibility for it. Nathan told David that I would love to get all these scriptures, but I simply do not have enough time. So I'm kind of paraphrasing here and putting some of my own words in there, but you'll get the drift. Nathan told David he wouldn't die, but that the child conceived from this sinful rendezvous would die. And he also said that the sword will never depart his house. And he also said that his neighbor would lie with his wives in the open. And we could go on and on and on, talking about the reaping that poor David had to carry. And it started with thought. It started with his eyes. It started by looking and seeing something that was not his to have and making a decision to sin against God. His whole reaping, the corruption, the misery in the family, the rapes, the sons trying to take him out as king and taking over, it all started with roving eyes and not dealing with it the Lord's way. Thoughts were allowed to run wild and sin was conceived and God was disobeyed. I'm going to, on that note, I want to get a scripture in James 1, verse 12. It says, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Brethren, sisters, you and I are tried. How do we stand? You say, well, you know what? I can't help my thought life. You can't? If I would ask you all, close your eyes and imagine a beautiful spring day in Montana. Could you do it? Of course. Not hard to do when it's a reality outside. If I would ask you to think about a day in December on Christmas Eve with snow falling outside of your house, could you do it? Yeah. Do you have choices to make on what you think? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You have choices. You say, well, it's so hard. I just start thinking bad thoughts. And I just start thinking other thoughts. By the power of God in you, cast those thoughts out of your heart and say, I'm not going there anymore. Devil, you know where those thoughts are going to take you. You know where they're going to take you. You stop thinking about that pretty girl or your neighbor's wife, and that's all you think about, you're probably going to sin. Stop it. Ask the Lord to give you a new heart. Tell Him to take those things out of your heart. Tell Him to cast those thoughts as far as the east is from the west and take them out. Satan wants you to dwell in that garbage, and he wants you to go down that road. You don't have to participate in that. Satan is a liar. He came to kill and destroy. Blessed is the man when he endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Okay? Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. It wasn't from God. God didn't tempt you. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now listen to this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Our brother David, if he would have just realized, he fell for a snare that the enemy rigged up. If you find yourself thinking foolish, dirty, unkind, hateful, negative thoughts about your brother or sister or anyone, if you find yourself dwelling, it says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so he is. When you find yourself dwelling in that, because there's a reaping for sowing, you say, well, I kind of get lost in space and I just kind of think these thoughts. Stop it. That sounds terrible, but just don't. Ask Jesus to give you thoughts that are clean and that are spiritual, that are righteous, that are put psalms and hymns and spiritual things in there and think on those things that are pure and honest and lovely and true. I can't quote that verse like Brother Enos, but those things, think on those things. Your life will change. David could have said, but it's, Nathan, it was so hard. It was so hard to be confronted with that and stand. What came out of that decision was a lot harder, right? It was a lot harder. Choose your heart wisely. We could speak about the Jews when Pilate couldn't find a fault in the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. I find no fault in this man. And I'm going to get a scripture there too, lest I butcher it. Matthew 27, verse 24. It said, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See you to it. Innocent. Verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. Wow. Whew. Did they have any idea of that foolish statement? Then released he Barabbas unto them. Barabbas. I don't know how you. Barabbas. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Do you think there's a connection that 6 million Jews were murdered in saying, His blood be on us and our children? Some of you brothers, Dennis and Enos, you just witnessed the remnants of some of that. And they were, was it Poland that you were? So some of you witnessed that. You saw that. You saw the heaviness of what? But it came from, was this a law? Was this reaping corruption? When they said, His blood, His innocent blood, be on us and our children. How sad is it? How sad it is. Do we ever make light decisions like that? In our passion, in the heat of the moment, where we're mad at somebody and we're upset and we'll say things and we'll say, We don't care. It's like, I want this on my, I'll take this. Be careful with that. Be careful what you're sowing. Be careful of the harvest that you're going to reap. Job 4:8 said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Ooh. They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Psalm 125, verse 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What are we sowing, brethren and sisters? What are we putting out there? What are we filling the hearts of our children with? What are we putting in our neighbors' hearts? What do they see when we live our life? What are the words? Is it words of life? Are we sowing words of life in the Spirit? Or are we going to have a harvest that is bitter and empty? Hosea 8:7, it says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. He said, there won't be a meal there, but even if it was, aliens are going to eat it. Strangers are going to eat it, even if there was. These that sown the wind, and they'll reap the whirlwind. Living for the moment. Beloved, this country has lived a pretty wild, prosperous life. We've had it pretty easy. We've been pretty selfish. We've watered down a lot of the word. We've said it doesn't mean what it says, and going to be a price to pay if there's not repentance. Lord, help us. It's a bleak harvest, but God is still on the throne and He loves you. Have we heard? Do we believe? May God help us to choose our heart wisely. Not everything in this life is easy. I'm sorry, young people. If you thought it was all going to be easy, it's not. Do you have any imagination? People look at America today and they look at her prosperity and the checks that go out so easily and the money that goes into their accounts so easily, and they just take it for granted. Somebody worked, somebody died, somebody had blood, sweat, and tears that went into that. I can't even imagine how they used to work back in the day. Can you imagine running a railroad from the east to west and how they did it compared to how we work today? I don't want to. You guys work really hard. I'm not here to excuse that. Most of you work really hard. But I'm just saying there was a hardness. There was an endurance. And I think that a lot of this watered down, this thing that happened, I think it happened when we kind of just became really selfish and really self-centered. We said everybody is entitled to everything. May God help us to choose wisely. Is obedience and submission to God to God and His Word at times hard? Yes. Is the alternative harder? Yes. Choose wisely. Being faithful, this was the Benham brothers. Some of you probably heard of those, but they came up with this quote. Being faithful to God is not about being in the right environment, but it is about knowing God in the midst of any environment. Will we stand? Will we as a church, will you young people, will you young ones, will you stand in this world, in the environment that you're in? Can you, in the power of God, create your own environment? Can there be a God thing about you that is so different that when the world and those thoughts and those things come that you're like, no, the presence of the Lord is in you and around you and through you, and those dark things have no power over you? Is that in your heart today, beloved? Will you choose wisely and sow to the Spirit and reap that harvest? Will you and I stand? So you're saying, well, I'm so scared now, I don't want to do anything. Thomas Sowell, who is a brilliant mind, I don't know how many of you have heard of him, but he said, the beauty of doing nothing is that you can do it perfectly. Just do nothing, because way it sounds, what I do, you know, it's so risky to be wrong. No, that's not the answer. But he also added, he said, so when you do something, it is almost impossible to not do it and make mistakes. But that shouldn't stop us. To sit on the sidelines and criticize and whine and complain and do nothing isn't the answer. Step out in faith and ask God to help you to do those things that God has called you to do. He also said, therefore people are contributing nothing to society except their constant criticism can feel both intellectually and morally superior. Those that do nothing. They have plenty to say about everybody else doing it wrong. Amazing. Done my share of that. Plenty. Child of God, this message is not meant to scare us into doing nothing. I don't even mean it to be critical. I don't. Honestly, I hope you believe me. But it is, I want us to be spurred on to make wise decisions today while there's still time. I want us to be in the Word of God. I want you to take those things, those hard things, to lay aside that little black box that is beckoning you to fill your mind with 20 hours a day. I want you to be able to lay that down and drink into the Word of God and be filled with His Holy Spirit. What you put in is going to come out. Many things in life are hard. It's hard for me as a dad sometimes to do the discipline and the correction and things that my children need. It's hard because I'm just home from work and I'm settled down in my chair and I've got a papers to read and I've got people to call and my wife thinks I should do something with the children. Whew, it's hard. But to not do the correction, to not do the teaching, to not do the loving, to not take the time for them is harder. It will not turn out right. Some of you have little tiny children. Oh boy, I'm glad I'm through that stage in life. But I'll tell you, it is a good stage in life. But you've got to be awake. You've got to be aware. There is things that God has called you to do. There's time that He wants you to spend with them. There's correction that He wants. There's training. And it's so easy to get caught up in life and be too busy. Choose your heart wisely. Don't neglect that. If I could go back and do it over, I'll guarantee you some things would be different. Cannot. For some of those things, I reaped a bitter harvest. And I'm not mad at any of my children. They're not all here. But there was a reaping for some of those poor decisions that I made as a young father. There was a reaping for that. I thank the Lord that all my children today, as far as I know, are walking with the Lord. And I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very humbled. I don't deserve that. It is certainly not because I was the perfect parent. But I'm very grateful. But there was some hard things that we went through because I will take responsibility for it because I did not do my job. It was too hard for me to do what God had called me to do when I should do it. Choose it wisely. There are other simple things. I want to bring this to a close. I know there's many things that, you know, that our flesh is geared and natured to. It's so much easier for us to overeat, to be obese. It's hard to put that away. When your wife is an amazing cook and she makes delightful desserts, and to put the helping of the dessert away and not eat it is hard. Just keep eating and not exercising and just adding to the problem is harder. Very simple analogy, but it's true. Choose your hard wisely. There are many things that we could talk about. And I think that I said enough that you get the drift of what my burden was, right? Have I left anything unclear? So I hope not. But we have to come, number one, as God's people, take this really, really seriously. What does the Word of God tell you and I to do? It has instruction on just about everything in life, if you look for it. To put it away and say you don't need it was going to be very hard. Sometimes to obey this is very hard. You have to choose which hard do you want. Do you want to do the hard things now and sometimes stand all alone on your convictions? Or do you want to reap a bitter harvest later? What is your decision and my decision today? I'm going to get one more scripture in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." You say, well, that's not really my experience, to be made free from sin. I want to tell you today, it is the heart of God. It is the heart of God. That is what Jesus died for and what he wants for your life. He wants you to be free from sin. And he wants you to have your fruit unto holiness. In the end, everlasting life. That is the heart of God for you and I today. That is what he wants for this country and for all the countries in the world. He wants you to be free from your sin. He doesn't want you to believe that the devil has a hold on you, that you just have to carry and live with this sin the rest of your life. The heart of God is that he sent Jesus so that you can be free from that. He has conquered death. He has conquered your sin. But you got to believe it. If you want to be free from it, you got to embrace that. And you have to say, this is the Jesus that I'm going to serve. This is the Christ that I want to have, rule over my life. That one that says I can live free from sin and have fruit unto holiness in my life. Will you receive him? Will you believe him? That's who he wants you to be. That's who he wants to put. That's a part of the Lord that he wants to put inside of you. Now let me tell you the last verse, and this is where it's heavy. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is still death. You can't look at that and call it lightly and start ranking sins and saying, well, that's just a little sin. It's not like I'm an adulterer. He said, "The wages of sin is death. Sin is sin." Don't try to rank it. Don't try to excuse yourself. Don't try to blame anybody else. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, beloved. And if you're here today and you're bound in sin, you're bound in sin and you're content with that, you say, I can go to churches that won't say this and they're going to leave me alone, and you're a little bit bitter about this, I'm telling you, God is calling you today. If you are here today and you have a besetting sin, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not here to nitpick and try to, you know, pinpoint little sins on you and try to make anybody feel guilty. But you know who I'm talking to. If you're here today and you have a sin in your life that is entrenched there, you cannot find the victory over that sin. God has called you to repentance. He has called you to find freedom this day. That is who God is, and he loves us that much. He does not want you to carry that. You were not created for that. The end of the day, the wages of that sin is death. I just know it. It's plain English. It's plain English. And again, I'm not here. I don't want to guilt trip any one of you, but I'd like to play a song here at the end, and I'm going to pray first, and then I just want to give you opportunity. If you're here today and you know that you're entrenched in sin, do not leave this place in that condition. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you do that. If you want to meet with some of the ministry after the service and you want to pray through and find freedom, we're here for you. But you don't have to walk through that. You don't have to worry about that bitter harvest. God can take that field that you might have sowed for the last 5 years, where you've been throwing seeds out there, just seeds of weeds and bitterness and anger and things that just your life's been upside down, and you've been sowing a harvest, and you know in your heart that if God's going to call that note due, that it's not going to be well, that there's going to be a bitter reaping. Kick these over. I didn't mean. Anyway, feel like you've been sowing wickedness and your harvest that you're facing is bad, God can turn it around. today. He can take that field of weeds and that bitterness and the anger, and he turn it up, turn it around for the glory of God. That's what he wants to do in our life. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. And I'm going to bless the food as well. When the song is over, y'all are dismissed. And I'm very thankful for all of you. I can truly say in my heart, I love all of you and I care. And I know God cares. God is a loving God. He didn't leave these hard things in there so we just have to dwell on these hard things and just be miserable. No, he told us these hard things so we come to Jesus who has the answers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you granted us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that although I have sown terrible seeds at times, that you are merciful and you have turned around that harvest. I lived so many years in the flesh and for myself. And I thank you, God, for calling me unto yourself. And I pray, Lord, that if any of us in this place today have anything heavy on our heart, if we have a sin, a besetting sin that we know it's there and we know it's heavy, Lord, help us to bring it today. Help us to be turned. Help it to be gone this day, Lord. And devil, you may be going from this place. I know the enemy likes to say, well, I don't want anybody to know that I have this or that in my life. And I don't want no one to know. What would they think? If the saints know that you repented, they would think that you are a man and a woman of God. And you are filled with the Spirit because you brought your sin and you got freedom today. Satan lies. He tells us today isn't the day. He tells us that we can't be. We've went down this road before. God, we pray in Jesus' name that those negative, lying thoughts from the enemy would be gone from this place, Lord. And we would believe that the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. It is enough. He has conquered sin. He's conquered death. And we can reap a good harvest. Lord, when you speak to us through your word, let us believe it and receive it and apply it to our life, Lord. God, we just love you, Lord. We invite you into this place, Lord. We thank you for the food that we're going to partake of a little bit later. Bless it to our bodies. Bless all those that are here today. May you meet the need of every heart. May you bless each one that's here. And let each one of us leave this place encouraged and anointed with the love of the Lord our God. God, we love you and praise you and thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Aiden. Play the song. It's a good song. Again, I didn't come here to speak criticism. I want to speak and hear the name of Jesus spoken over our life.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Jesus, over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every strong.
His presence, I speak Jesus.